Kia ora. Buenos dias. Hey, how you doing? Super cool to see you. As you can see, I'm in a slightly different place recording this, so I'll explain a bit of that as we get into it. Hey, just wanted to say at the beginning of the sermon, we really do care about you. It's been cool seeing people sharing needs and stuff around the church, so we're really keen to help in any way we can. So again, I know I say this every Sunday, but if there's anything we can do to help, please get hold of us. So even if you're not part of our church, we don't care, right? We'd love to bless you. So if there's a way we can help you and you don't have contact details, just go to the church website, cbc.net.nz, and they can totally hook you up and connect with you. So we're really serious about that. We'd love to support you, help you in whatever way you need at the moment. Hey, so a special welcome to you if you're listening to this on podcast. Kia ora. I know there's people hooking in from all over the planet, which is really exciting. So if that's you, a special welcome to you. Good to kind of have you with us. So really cool. Hey, I'm pretty excited about this little sermon this morning. Not that kind of like woo excitement, but more that deep, like, man, this is essential, right? It's Easter Sunday. I'm recording this early, but it's Easter Sunday when you'll be watching this, and that is the core of our faith, right? That is the core of everything that we talk about, everything that we believe, everything that we hold on to as Christians. So I'm pretty excited to be able to kind of unpack some cool verses and talk about why Easter's real essential to us. At the same time, I just want to be real honest. If you know me, you know I'm trying to be real honest. This has been a real hard sermon to write. As you can see, I'm not at home recording this. I am up in Kerikeri. So my mum is literally passing away from cancer, and hospice, who's been amazing. Oh my goodness, hospice are incredible. The nurse that's been coming in each day has just been awesome and said mum's maybe got a day or two left. So trying to write a sermon this week and support mum, and my whānau up here has been a bit of a crazy kind of week. So I'm going to read this a little bit more than normal. So yeah, and I'm sure you understand that. I'm going to talk a bit more about mum's faith later on, but one of the cool things I've loved this week is mum's a real strong believer in Jesus. Has been for, you know, her whole life, and it's been really cool. There's been some horrible times when the pain's bad and other nasty things are happening as the cancer takes more and more hold of her body, and it's been really special to be able to kneel beside her bed and cry with her a bit, pray with her, read some verses with her. And the thing that mum just keeps saying is she just wishes this stage of her life would be over. Really, she really does. She wants the next stage, the time with Jesus, right, to come really soon. And so that's something I've been praying with her. But the thing I've loved is her just hope, her confident hope, even in the midst of the pain and all the other horrible things that have to happen to you as you get closer to death. Through it all, God's allowed her, I guess, a real clarity around her faith and the security that he's got her and that he loves her. And it's been real special to be able to spend a bit of time with her. So as I said, I'm going to talk a bit more about that later on. One of the things mum and I keep talking about, or I keep trying to encourage her, and is that the best is yet to come, right? This life, if you think about it, is literally a trial period or a testing time to figure out what our lives will look like when we're with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth. And so I've been keep saying to mum in the midst of some of the horrible times, the best is coming. Man, Jesus has got you. The best is coming. So it's been cool to be able to talk with her about that. Okay, so as I said, Easter is the core of our faith. And so the thing I want to look at this morning is this whole question, why Easter, right? Why is Easter so essential? Why, when Easter's coming, are Christians all, you know, sad but all excited about what's coming with Easter? So I got three little points. So here's the first one, why Easter. And this first one's kind of funny. Why Easter? Because we always mess stuff up. Because we always mess stuff up. So if you're watching this with some friends or whānau, why don't you just turn to them right now and say, man, you mess stuff up, right? With love, yeah. Okay, I feel like I don't even need to unpack this point very much if you're human, and I'm guessing most of you watching this, it's probably a few cats sneaking in. Then you know we mess things up, right? And we don't need anyone helping us do it. We're good at messing up the planet, as we all know. We're often good at messing up friends and whānau by saying the wrong thing, by being a little arrogant, being selfish, wrong thing at the wrong time, all this kind of stuff. And we're really good at messing ourselves up. We make wrong choices. We don't listen to advice. We know best, and then everything falls apart. And so, like I said, we're good at messing up. I'm pretty excellent at messing up. I've done a lot of messing up, broken a lot of bones in my time, crashed a lot of cars in my time. The funniest car crash I was ever in was years ago when I was young. I must have been 18, 17, maybe around there. And I'd stayed at a friend's house overnight. We weren't doing anything that evil. No, we weren't doing anything evil. And I was driving back home. I had to help at the camp. I grew up at a camp in Matamata. And I was driving back to the camp quite early in the morning and I fell asleep driving. I'm awesome at falling asleep driving. And I crashed my parents' car. I crashed a lot of my parents' cars growing up, but let's just leave that to the side. And I crashed the car and I was swerving off the, I don't remember this, but we figured out later on what must have happened is I was obviously swerving off the road and overcorrected and the car flipped and crashed and ended up in the ditch on the other side of the road. And I came to and my arm was all cut because the window had smashed on the side and all the back of the car was all caved in so we could tell it had flipped. I came to and I had cuts on my head where I'd hit the side, cuts all over my arm and glass and stuff. And as I was coming to, I was just sitting in the car quite dazed. And two runners literally were running down the road. And as they ran past, they just said, "Hey, that's a funny place to park, bro," and died laughing and carried on running. And like still now, I'm like, who are these people? Why wouldn't they stop and check? I was okay. But you know, and the car drove, so I kind of drove home. And it was pretty ridiculous. So the car was messed up. I was messed up. Man, if you stopped for a second and made a list of all that you've messed up over the years, all that I've messed up over the years, for most of us, it would be a really long list and a pretty depressing list. So let's not focus there, right? I don't want to go there. Just to say we mess up, right? Remember why Easter? The first thing is because we mess up. Hey, Romans 5, 6 to 8. I've put all the verses on the screen this week just because I'm in a crazy place. So Romans 5, 6 to 8, I love this. When we were utterly helpless, man, turn to someone and just say helpless. Just turn to someone and say helpless. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I just love these verses. I want to unpack these a little bit. The first thing is it's real funny. Paul's making a bit of a joke. Well, not a joke, but he's kind of using a bit of humor in the middle here. So that verse 7. So look at that verse 7 again. Do you see how he's basically saying in there, we could understand if someone died for someone especially good, but he's saying that that's not you. You're not especially good, right? I just love how he's real funny. We would get it, right? If someone was amazing and really good and someone sacrificed their life for them, we'd be like, yes, it was a worthy sacrifice. But his whole point is, one, God is super, super good and you're not so good. So God sacrificing himself for you just does not make sense, right? That's his kind of point in there. Hey, a couple of little interesting comments out of this verse. The first one is the word he uses for sinners in verse 6 is a different word to what he normally uses. So remember, the New Testament was written in Greek, and in Greek it's a much more powerful language than English. And so for any phrase that we would say in English, there's a whole bunch of Greek words they could use that were very targeted in their meaning. And Paul and others in the New Testament often use a certain verse for sinner, for someone doing wrong, but here Paul chooses a different one. And the word that he chooses here is interesting. It means not caring about God or his practices. It's a, I don't give a rip about God kind of word, right? I don't give a rip about God kind of word. So let me read the verse back with that meaning put in there, again, knowing that Paul chose this word specifically. And you'll see what I mean. It's really interesting. So this is what it would look like if we expand out that word sinner in verse 6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us humans who totally didn't care about God or about the way he wanted us to live. Do you see it, eh? It has a really powerful meaning. It's like we're literally telling God to nick off. We're literally saying to God, I don't need you. I'm all good, thank you. And at that time, that is when God comes into our lives. This is why Easter is so essential to our faith. I love that, eh? I love that. Well, we're sinners. Jesus comes to save us, to bless us. Man, I was thinking about it this week and I was like, how do I kind of illustrate this? And I was thinking it's like the difference between Loki and Odin or Thor. So if you've ever read any Norse mythology or you've seen any Avengers movies, you know they focus on a whole bunch of these kind of, they're not divine beings, but they're almost divine beings, right? Again, it's mythology. And the three main ones that's focused on the Avengers series anyway is Loki, Thor and Odin. And Thor's kind of the good being, And but Loki's the shady, kind of evil, sneaky guy, right? He's a trickster. And everything he does revolves around him. And humans are just pawns to for his humor and his benefit, right? And when I was thinking about it this week, I was like, man, I think if I was a divine being, if I was God, I'd be a lot more like Loki than like Thor, right? But when you look at it, it's like God is the most un-Loki kind of divine being, the most un-Loki kind of God that we could ever imagine, right? He cares for us. Loki uses humans for his benefit, his blessing. God doesn't. God totally flips it. While we were sinners, while we were telling God to get lost, is when he cared for us, when he looked after us. Now, I just find that fascinating. If I was God, there'd be a lot more zapping. You crazy human, stop that. It's not God, right? God does a whole bunch of loving and guiding and blessing. Wild. One of the big things I always think about at this time of year is we did the crime, so we should do the time. You know that saying? You did the crime, you should do the time. We do the crime. We do the unworthiness. We do the evil, the wrong. So therefore, we should do the time, but God doesn't do that, and that's what I want to explain here. The other word I wanted to unpack from those verses is this word helpless. I got you to turn and say that this word helpless, to me, this is a real core word for the whole Easter story. And the normal word in the Bible for sin that Paul usually uses has this core meaning, is to do wrong, right? To do wrong. Or often it's to do the opposite of what God desires, right? The opposite of what God desires. And when we have sin in our lives, right? Evil in our lives, that's what I've been talking about. It's simply saying the wrong that we do, yeah? And the evil that we do, we hurt others, we live in arrogance, we're selfish towards other people. We fight for our own way no matter the impact on others. We refuse to love others sacrificially, and so on and so on. Now, I'm not saying we do this all the time, but that evil can rise up within us. Like I said before, if you made a list of the times you've messed up in your life, it would be a long list. And again, you'd see at the root of it is selfishness and arrogance and pride, right? And what he's saying here is we're helpless. We're stuck in that kind of life unless God jumps in, right? Unless God jumps in. I love to run, and I was thinking about some of the crazy stuff happening with running at the moment. So as you know, a lot of countries in Europe now are on full lockdown, okay? So no one even is allowed to exercise outside. And so all these people are doing these crazy things. And one of my favorite guys, I can't say his name, Elisha Nokomovitz, I'll just say it with confidence, Nokomovitz. So he's a 32-year-old restaurant worker in France. And he ran the length of a marathon, right? So 42 kilometers on his 25-foot balcony. So it's just a real short balcony. There's a video I was watching on USA Today of him just running backwards and forwards. I reckon he ran backwards and forwards about 3,000 times to do the marathon. And it took him like 7.5 hours. He normally does it much shorter. You see by the end of it, his knees are just about falling off from all the changing around. Madness, man. A lot of people have run marathons on treadmills, on their decks or in their houses and stuff, which is just crazy. So I was trying to think of this helplessness. I was thinking, to me, this is a cool illustration. Imagine being stuck on a treadmill that cannot be turned off, and you're tied up to it or something, so you can't jump off. And you just seem to run and run and run and run, and you're helpless to get off it. You can't turn it off. You can't detach. You're just stuck helplessly running on this treadmill forever. And after a while, you'd start to collapse, and you'd be going, I need someone to help me. I'm helpless. I'm stuck running on this treadmill. I'm not crazy like this Elisha guy trying to do a marathon on my deck or one of these other crazy people. I don't want to be here. I want to get off, but you're helpless. You're stuck there. And the thing I love about these verses is it's like God literally comes along and God turns off the treadmill. I love that. God turns off the treadmill. We're helpless to save ourselves. We're stuck in sin. We're stuck in evil. And God would be totally right to say, you did the crime, you do the time, you take the punishment for the evil you've done. But he doesn't. He comes along, and Jesus comes along and turns off the treadmill. Right? The big phrase I love around this is, we do the crime, but God does the time, right? God's the one who comes and pays for punishment, pays for the evil that we've done. Why? Because he loves us. Because he cares about us. Whether you understand it or not, God is passionately, deeply in love with you. God is for you. God desires to bless you and empower you and encourage you. No matter where you're watching this morning, no matter what's going on in your bubble, as we keep calling it here in Aotearoa. God deeply cares about you. He wants to rescue you because he knows that you're really helpless. And so the first whole point was, why is Easter so essential? It's because we mess up. The second one is, why is Easter so essential? And it's because this is when God steps in for us. This is when God steps in for us. Jesus on the cross. I've talked about this a lot over the last few weeks, right? This whole core meaning of Easter. Easter's essential because it's when God steps in for us. I was a youth pastor in America for a number of years. Justin and I lived over there for 7 years in the States. And while we were in Colorado, I was youth pastor in this crazy little church at this little youth. And one of my youth, I won't say his name, awesome young guy. And the classic, wrong place, wrong time, wrong friends, right? Real nice guy. He was with a bunch of friends one weekend, and they decided to go and rob a small convenience store, like a little dairy, basically. And they were just being idiots, and I don't think they were really intending to do it. It was more just being stupid, and then they got all hyped up, and when they pulled up in the car, they all went to jump out and run in and rob or pretend to rob. And one of the guys had a gun, a handgun, and he gave it to this friend of mine, this young friend, who would have been 17, I guess, 16, 17 at this time. And without thinking, he was like, yeah, and they all ran in, and he pulled the gun. He didn't shoot. No one got hurt. He pulled the gun and stuff. And then they didn't even steal anything. Ran out, jumped in the car, took off. He was on CCTV, was arrested, put into juvie for quite a long time, a number of years. And I used to visit him pretty regularly for a while there. And the thing he just kept saying is he was so angry at himself because he'd done such a dumb thing. He'd messed up, right? And he was like, he was a really good kid, great family, cool parents, really engaged. And, you know, and it was just this one dumb thing. And so, but because he did the time, he did the crime, who had to do the time? He had to do the time. And he was in juvenile detention, juvie, for, I don't know, like 3 years. Lockdown, tiny little cell, horrible, it's just a horrible thing. And again, with God, that's not how it happens. We mess up, we make the mistake, but God is the one who comes along. And he says, you can't do the time. You just can't. You're helpless, you're stuck in this. And he comes in and he rescues us. Remember, I read that verse, Romans 5, and the last verse, verse 8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Man, I love that. God showed his great love for us. How? By sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know the truth if you've been around Christianity long at all, but God says the wages of sin is death. The payment for living a life of sin is death. Spiritual separation from him, cut off from being connected to God. So you remain in that helpless state forever and ever and ever and ever. God loves you. God cares about you. He wants to connect with you. He wants to turn off the treadmill of wrongdoing, right? So he steps in. I love that, eh? Hey, so what have I talked about? Easter's crucial because we mess up. Easter's crucial because it's when God steps in for us. And here's my last little point. Easter's crucial because it reminds us that Jesus died in our place and he gives us hope. Easter reminds us that Jesus died in our place. He took our punishment, and he gives us hope. Man, I was thinking about it this week, and I was thinking, man, at the moment in this planet, this verse, this whole reality, rather, this truth is so crucial. People are desperate for hope. People are afraid. People are worried. People are losing jobs. Economies are tanking. The world is crazy. I want to read Romans 5, 3 to 5 from the Message. I love how Eugene Peterson translates these verses. So let me read this. This is good. I'm going to read this twice because I love what he says here. He says, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. An alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Man, I love that. I'm going to read it again. There's more to come, right? Whenever you're connected with God, there's more to come. In this life and the life to come, there is more to come. You have no idea the ways that God is planning to bless you and hold you close to him and guide you. And he calls us to journey close to him so we'll receive that blessing, right? I love it. There's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. I love that, eh? Keeping us alert. An alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I love the imagery of that. I just love it. It's like God's pouring out blessing on us, and you're running around with containers and they're filling up, and you've got buckets, and you know, bring more buckets because there's so much blessing coming from God. I just love that imagery, right? And you just have no idea how much God loves you. No idea, right? I'm a big believer that even after I've been in the new heavens and the new earth with God for a billion, trillion, gazillion, quadra, whatever, zillion years, we still have no idea how much God loves us, cares about us, desires to bless us and journey with us. We'll have a greater understanding than now, but because he is infinite in all that he is, right? Our understanding will grow, but it will still be nothing in comparison to the depth of his love and his care and his sacrifice of Christ for us because he loves us. Man, I just love that, eh? God loves to pour blessing into our lives. God is not Loki. he's not using us for his own benefit. God does not say to us, well, you did the crime, you do the time. No, he says, you did the crime and I will do the time. He takes our punishment and instead gives us blessing. That amazes me. We deserve punishment and God takes the punishment on himself. And instead he gives us incredible blessing. Hey, as I mentioned, as I'm writing this, Mum is in the house just over there, and we're expecting her to pass away any day now. And with the agreement of hospice, a week ago, I moved my bubble from home. We spent a lot of time talking to hospice about this from home, and moved up to my sister's house in Kerikeri so I could be with my mum when she passes away. I was talking with her this morning how hard this would all be if she didn't have a strong hope that Jesus has got her. We were talking, well, I was talking about how hard and pointless this would be if this life was all there is. this morning, my nephew broke his ankle on the trampoline. We had to rush him into the medical center. While he was there, they found out that he had nits. A couple of days ago, my brother-in-law, who's here, broke his wrist. this morning, Mum's dog ran away. We couldn't find him for, it was like the most stressful time ever, in the midst of watching my mum get worse and worse. And as I was trying to write the sermon, right, and finalize this in the middle of it all, I just kept coming back and just going, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus, that I should be helpless. Thank you, Jesus, that my world's fallen. I've got nephews with broken legs and nits, and, you know, but in the midst of it, I just felt such hope, just felt such comfort from God. I have this amazing community, City Bible Church. You guys are incredible. I know so many of you praying for us up here. Texting, how you doing? How can we help? Sending little prayers and verses. It's just awesome to go through a crazy time like this with the comfort of a community that cares about you. It's just wild. Wild. But deeper than that is to go through a time like this with the blessing that God pours out on us. I just feel like I don't have enough containers to contain the blessing, like Eugene Peterson said at this time. Even though everything seems like it's falling apart, God is blessing and speaking truth and love into the midst of this craziness. Man, I just love being a Christian. I love being in a relationship with God. Let me finish with this quote from Joni Erickson Tata, and then I'll pray. She says, the best we can hope for in this life is a knot-hole peek at the shining realities ahead. I love that, eh? The best is yet to come, right? Yet a glimpse is enough. It's enough to convince our hearts that whatever sufferings and sorrows currently assail us aren't worthy of comparison to that which waits over the horizon. And I love that. I love that. So let me pray a blessing over you. Maybe as I'm praying, it's just a good time for you to just check in. How are you doing with Jesus? Do you understand what he has done for you at Easter? That you have done crime and he took your punishment. He did your time. He loves you and he cares about you more than you'll ever understand. He desires to be a greater part of your life than he is right now because he's so passionate and so for you. Yeah. Yeah, kōra rea tamaiti. Glory to the Son. Yeah, kōra rea ki te wairuatapu. Yeah, gracias, Jesus. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for caring about us more than we understand. We thank you for Easter in the midst of this crazy lockdown and the planet feels like it's spinning out of control, but you are with us. Thank you for that imagery that we get from Eugene Peterson translating that cool verse in Romans, that you just want to bless us so much. It's like we're running around with containers in the midst of this madness. Help us to be in tune with you, God. Help us to be being intentional about connecting with you and listening to you and journeying with you so that we can receive and be aware of the blessing you're wanting to bring into our lives. And we love you. We love you. We love your word. Thank you for the power that it speaks to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I can't get you.